foundational tools to develop biblical worldviews. Welcome to Mentoring Matters. With the world culture invading the church, it is vital that we establish some deeper roots in biblical doctrine to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Join us now as we let the Word of God give us foundational tools to develop and maintain a biblical worldview. Hi, this is Sharon Hoskins.
And this is Janie Ratzlaff.
Today we're going to continue our conversation about defense mechanisms, what they are, and why we use them, giving us an understanding of what they look like so that we can recognize when we ourselves are using them. And really, defense mechanisms are ways that we react to frustration and conflict to maintain our self-esteem or avoid anxiety. We need to reduce emotional conflict, soften failure or disappointment. And these defense mechanisms, when they're in use, prevent us from moving forward in the joy of the Lord and move us closer to Him. When we put up those defense mechanisms, we prevent growth in our lives.
Well, and not only prevent growth, but have massive confusion, Sharon, because let's just say you're dealing with one kind of defense mechanism and I'm dealing with another, then those have to then intertwine with one another. And it gets to be like almost putting together a 500-piece puzzle. And the subtlety of the enemy is to get us to focus on that person's performance in their defense mechanisms. And as soon as we do that, we, number one, quit seeing the person as a child of God, and we start to deal with them from their lack rather than from the sufficiency of who they are in Christ. And so it takes our focus off of the Lord Jesus Christ. It puts us on a negative mindset towards one another.
And that is a defense mechanism, isn't it?
Yes.
It's called projection. It's shifting the blame of one's faults to the other.
Oh my, and when did we start that? When we were about 3 years old and had a sibling, and she made me do it, or he did this, and we start blaming one another even when we are behaving like 3-year-olds or 5-year-olds.
Yeah.
And you expect that out of a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old. You don't expect it out of a 25-year-old.
Right.
Or
right.
A 65-year-old that has not learned right. to grow up and quit playing kid games.
Well, and I think it causes us to not take responsibility for our own actions and humbly accept instruction and guidance from the Lord, right?
That's correct. And boy,
is that pride?
Well,
sure. I won't get us off.
No, that's good. Yes, ma'am, that is pride, because pride is the root of every defense mechanism that we're talking about.
Oh, is it?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
This is just pride in the peacock feathers full blown.
Oh. Right. So we try to make pride pretty, huh?
Good. Good point.
All right.
I'll use my Spanish word that I know, excelente.
Okay.
Right. So there is a short, beautiful, simple passage in Romans 2, 1 through 3
okay.
that really nails it. And I've got to read that one to you. Therefore, you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment, and I can insert the word opinion or perception, for in that you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. How do we recognize what we're judging someone on? Is because we're so familiar with it, because we're doing it ourselves, but we don't see it in ourselves. But boy, can we see it in 3D dimension in someone else.
Okay.
And so we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. And do you suppose this, O man, When you pass judgment upon those who you practice such things, and you do the same things, that you will escape the judgment of God?
That's scary.
That's heavy, because what we're doing is we are attacking one of God's children that he is perfecting and bringing into completion.
Oh, okay.
And we are actually saying, God, you're really doing a rotten job on this person. Okay. And if you would let me take over, I could do a better job, which is a subtle lie that goes back to the Garden of Eden. When Satan said, Eve, why don't you try eating of this fruit? Because then you will be able to tell good from bad, and you actually will have more knowledge than God.
Well, it's kind of what we talked about with offenses on one of our shows, that when we're offended by someone, we are actually offended with God. And so when we look at somebody with the judgment and pointing out all their faults, then we're basically saying, look what you're not doing right here with your children, God.
Well, and another perplexity is that the Bible says that we shouldn't have cursings and blessings coming out of the same mouth. All
that's
right?
Really good.
And so let me just do a you and me so we don't get
okay.
anybody involved. So let's just say one time you do something really great, and I'm just praising you to everybody I know. She is so fabulous. She's multitask-oriented, multi-talented, and blah, blah, blah. And then you do something that irritates me, and it hurts me, and I don't want to tell you. But all of a sudden, I find myself speaking of you and like, well, you know, she may be good here, but she still really has got this hang up and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, one day it sounds like I'm in love with you, and the next day it sounds like I don't know if I even want to be in the same room with you.
Right.
And then you don't know what that person's heart really is, because there's blessings and cursings coming out of the same mouth. And Sharon, don't you know that we as women cause that perplexity to our husbands?
Yes.
And to our children.
Right, right.
We'll praise them for one thing, and then we will put them under law of defeat, and we think we're child training them, but we are not child training them in the way the Lord has told us to.
I see. And so when they do something wrong, then we revert to some immature behavior and regress into this sulking, temper tantrum kind of behavior, whether that's, you know, you make me so mad and that kind of thing.
You know, if we corrected one another the way we can correct our children or our spouses, and God took that same mannerism, we would crumble up in a corner and use every defense mechanism just to survive.
Okay, Janie, so the next defense mechanism that we want to bring out here is regression. And regression is reverting to immature behavior. So we've gone from projection to now regression. So what does it look like when we do that?
Well, I would say it can come out in many different forms, but we can have what I call the kingdom of self complex. Sometimes it comes out looking like Superman. I'm so great, and I'm going to have this temper tantrum because of the way you behaved. Then there's the opposite end, and then I can go around sulking. And I feel so sorry for myself because you did such and such and such and such. And
so is that the silent treatment?
Well, it usually has an expression to it. And so let's just say you go up and try to be really friendly with this person, and they give you bare minimum politeness because they're sulking about something that you have done.
All right, I see.
All right. There's so many facets of this that if you are not filled with the fruit of the Spirit and the joy of the Lord, you're probably working off of some defense mechanism.
Right. And if we don't know what those defense mechanisms even look like, then we have no idea that they're there or even how to tear them down.
And the Lord, again, gives such beautiful examples in the fact that, yes, we do have to tear down defense mechanisms, and that's not easy to expose. But we find that a gentle word spoken maybe not saying, now let me tell you what Proverbs 16:2 or something like that says, but we take that principle to know that in tearing down, at the same time, we can be building them up. And that is an art that the scriptures teach us how to do. But most of us don't meditate on the scriptures long enough to see how when we have to expose something unpleasant, at the same time, we can be building up. Okay. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, it gives us a hint that if someone is really being destructive, we do have to admonish. But we also need to understand that they also are weak and we need to come alongside and build them up in their weakness and expose the sin, but do it in a way that pursues peace.
Okay, Janie, so let's say I've messed up, that I have used defense mechanisms in disciplining my children, in talking to my friends, in sharing my heart with my husband. Let's just say I've messed up. So then what?
And then, Sharon, the correct measure for that is to go and ask forgiveness.
Okay.
And for a parent to go and ask a child for forgiveness because I spoke hastily, I spoke with a harsh voice that was not necessary, is to give a child confidence in being able to trust their parent, because their parent has now admitted the same weakness that the child may have. Yeah. So can you see the uniqueness of messing up, and then the Lord's told us how to fix up? First of all, with the act of forgiveness, of asking forgiveness ourselves. And if we've really been hot under the collar, the last thing we want to do is go humble ourselves, according to James, and ask a child, I didn't use wisdom in the way I spoke to you. Or that also works very well for a husband.
Right. And you'll find that your children will come back and do the same for you when they do wrong.
You've set the example.
Yes.
And you've shown the character of God our Father, Jesus Christ.
Right. Okay. So we've done denial, rationalization, projection, regression, and this one is repression.
Yes.
So what's repression?
Repression is where you really withdraw and stifle what you're feeling. You don't let the sulking come out. You don't let the temper tantrum come out. You don't let the weeping come out, but you will just simply repress it.
So you hold it in your heart?
You hold it in your heart and stop and think about a pressure cooker. You put food in a pressure cooker, and then you put a weight on there, and that weight is like repression. It holds everything down. But what happens when in that pressure cooker, you turn the heat up on the stove a little too much? That pressure
mounts.
Mounts and mounts, and then your weight that was holding everything down explodes.
Okay.
You hear a screaming, hissing noise from the pressure cooker, and everything explodes.
Okay.
And damage is usually done not only to what's on the outside of the pressure cooker, all over the kitchen cabinet or what have you, but it's also ruined the food that's inside.
Okay.
Does that give you a vivid enough?
Right. So basically, when you repress it, you hold on to it until a later time, and then you just explode when something sets it off.
Yes.
All right. Well, Janie, we got to take a quick break right here. But when we come back, let's go through some more of these defense mechanisms.
Okay. That sounds good.
Stick around. We'll be right back. You're listening to Sharon Hart's Mentoring Matters on KWXC 88.9 FM, Grove, Oklahoma. With the world's culture invading the church, it is vital that we establish some deeper roots in biblical truth. To hear this program again, or to find resource materials, you can go to SharonHearts.org. That's S-H-A-R-I-N, Hearts.org. Hey, thanks for staying with us. This is Sharon Hoskins here with Janie Ratzliff, and we are talking about defense mechanisms that we use that hinders God's word. It hinders our Christian walk. It hinders us from growing in the Lord. And again, those defense mechanisms are the ways that we react to frustration and conflict in an effort to maintain our self-esteem and avoid anxiety. And so we've talked about denial, rationalization, projection, regression, repression, and we are now at reaction, Janie.
Reaction is very obvious, but very, very subtle, because basically it's just going to the opposite extreme.
So instead of responding to somebody, we'll react to them? Is that the same thing?
Well, not exactly, but yes and no. Let's just say somebody's accused me of something. And so what I will do is I may have some feelings of hostility towards that person. But instead of expressing that, I will cover it by being overly friendly.
Oh.
Now you'll think, well, that sounds like a good thing. Well, yeah, if my heart's right, it is. But if my heart's not right, then I'm just performing. I'm like an actress on stage. So these reactions are where we have unacceptable impulses, but we are not real in dealing with them from the heart. So we give out a behavior.
So we're trying to save face, kind of, and save somebody's feelings at the same time, because we don't want to deal with the issue.
And then show that really what we were accused of wasn't really true at all.
Okay.
So somebody accuses me of being indifferent. So then I go around doing everything in the world that I can and almost waiting on them as though I was their servant. But my heart just says, I want to show you that I'm not indifferent. See,
it's just
another heart issue where we cover up the true of our heart.
I'm just amazed that how each one of these are just spilling over into the other one. So like the next one's emotional insulation. And that's basically what we do when we are doing that. In reaction, we're insulating our emotions, right?
That's true, because Sharon, it hurts so bad. Sometimes an emotional wound, even though we may not have to have sutures, we need sutures of the heart. The Bible says that the spirit in a man will sustain him in his affliction, but a broken spirit, who can bear? And a broken spirit is definitely going to have broken emotions. And if we don't understand what you and I have taught for years, that feelings come from emotions, and emotions are triggered in what we believe. So when we have misbeliefs about ourselves as a person, we will always react wrongly.
To insulate our emotions. Okay. So we're just trying to protect ourselves, and that's why we use defense mechanisms. These are all protection for ourselves, for our emotions, for our ego, for our feelings in some way.
Yes, now let's give a positive response there. Sometimes these wounds, these afflictions that happen to us are not happening to us even because of us, but because 2 Corinthians 1 says, you're going through this for someone else, to help someone else.
Okay.
And if we recognize, no, Lord, my heart is right before you, but I'm still going through this attack or this protection, we need to be sensitive that this is happening to us for someone else. And Sharon, when we recognize it, then the opportunity to exercise the truth of 2 Corinthians 1 will probably happen within 24 hours.
Okay. All right, so the next one is idealization.
Yes, and that's kind of an identification of to where we overestimate the character or the abilities of another person. It's when a person assumes the ideas or the behaviors or the traits of another. We might call this hero worship.
Where, so we're kind of idolizing someone
else. I've been guilty of that, because I look at you and I think, She can do IT. She can be the host. She can speak and bring into about three sentences what I have taken 3 minutes to express. So I can look and I'm always like, Lord, why didn't you gift me the way you have gifted Sharon? And he says, I've gifted you where I've called you. And aren't you glad that I didn't ask you to do IT work? So I could be very joyous and very relieved that I don't have to do that. Or here's more subtle. We can start to idolize a person that is a great teacher. We can spout off names. They're fluent. They're practical. They hold to God's word. And we know that they will be great in the kingdom. And then we look at ourselves and think, yeah, and I'm going to be a grain of sand on the seabed. And it really runs competition with Jesus Christ.
And so how is that a defense mechanism for ourselves?
Well, we can kind of excuse where we're lacking because we see this great person. And if we identify with them, then we become a part of them.
Okay.
And so what do? We spout them all the time.
Okay.
Dr. So-and-so said such and such, and that way you can see that I'm agreeing with him and I'm taking a part of him. And there's a good side to that, because when you stand for a person that stands for truth and their life produces fruit, the Bible says we get to share in that.
Okay.
So you see, there is a negative twist to a truth of us sharing with someone in ministry and us then idolizing them.
So it depends on the heart, again.
Do we sound like a broken record?
My goodness, Janie. All right. So then the next one is intellectualism.
Oh, that's knowing it in the head and using it in the head as your means of not needing to go learn it in the heart.
Back to the heart? Are you telling me already?
Well, sorry about that. Okay. I should have gotten two more sentences out. But this is where our universities have sold us down the river. If we learn enough and we learn it from the head and we can speak it with authority as to this is truth, then I don't have to clean my heart up. I can still have anger towards you. I can still be wounded, all these other emotional
things.
And I
don't need God.
Well, that's true, because I can take his word and I can be God of the word, and God doesn't have to get involved. I'll take care of it for you with my intellect.
Right.
This one is dangerous, because this really does have a great influence on others. If I'm wounded and acting like a jerk, well, that may affect a few people. But if I'm in a university or if I'm in a pulpit, Sharon, if you're in the pulpit, and you can speak fluent Greek and Hebrew, and you know all the history, and you can show how it ties in, but your heart isn't right because of one of these more subtle mechanisms.
It's a dangerous place, huh?
You can lead many, many, many astray because they get intellectually smart too, and they don't have to deal with their heart issues. And the Lord says, Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart. Because out of it proceed all the issues of life.
Well, you know, it seems like that those are the hardest people to reach, are those who are very intellectually astute. And
they're gifted.
And they are gifted in so many areas that it seems like they more rely on themselves than they do on humbling themselves before the Lord. So that can be a very dangerous mechanism.
And it can have many subtle forms. Idolatry can get into that. One precious person that does walk with the Lord recently told me that the gift that they had been given in music had become an idol to them. Now, the beauty is they were recognizing that and dealing with it. But if the person had just recognized that and not done something about it, then it would be suffering a death over a gift. And that would be the misuse of God's grace, because he says he's given us all gifts, differing gifts, but it's for the edifying of the body, not for being puffed up with pride and claiming that gift as your comfort zone.
Right.
All right. So did you see how twisted the enemy gets our minds in the way he uses us to defend where we don't want to go to the cross? And say, Lord, teach me your ways. Reveal to me my hidden faults. Create in me a clean heart.
Try me and know my anxieties and thoughts.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the next one is displacement.
I'm just going to give an illustration because this one is old. This is where we take our anger and our frustrations out on someone innocent.
Oh. Okay. Like your family members.
Well,
you'd be mad at your boss and come home and take it out on your kids or
something.
That's the phrase.
This is the old saying. Dad has a problem at work. He comes home and takes it out on Mom. Mom now takes it out on the kids.
Okay.
And the kids take it out on the dog.
Okay.
Right. And the dog takes it out on the cat, and the cat goes screaming.
Poor cat.
So this All is right. what we call displacement. We don't deal with it, but we take our anger and our frustration out on a different person. And
okay. And
Dad at work is going to get confrontation with unbelievers and maybe his job quality or somebody else is trying to take his job in a different department.
Okay.
So what I used to tell our kids, nobody does anything for 30 minutes. You find out if he needs his slippers. You find out if there's something he wants to read. Make sure he can have 30 minutes of just downtime mm-hmm. so that he can make the transition from the hostility to finding the home being a place of safety and comfort,
right.
not another place where he starts getting confrontation
right.
or, Dad, we had this, or here's my honey-do list. You've mm-hmm. been in the house for 5 minutes. Here's the honey-do list, and let me tell you
what Let's get started.
Yeah, and let me tell you what the kids did today.
Right, okay. So we have two more. Fantasizing is escaping the pain of reality through daydreaming. And then...
Let me just make a point there.
Okay.
Let's just say I don't know how to function in the church. I don't know how to interact. But I want to come to church and be around people. So you can sit at the house and fantasize about how you could be what someone else is being in church, but you don't know how to be. And you can literally start to dream about being a great
singer or a piano player
or a teacher or how you could be winning hundreds of souls to the Lord. But now you go and daydream about something that God says, I've put you where I want you. You be faithful to me.
Where and you are.
Yes, because the Bible tells us that those that have the little gifts that are least noticeable can sometimes be the gifts that are the most usable by the Father.
Mm-hmm. So we don't necessarily have to daydream in bad ways. You're saying that we can daydream in good ways.
Yes, but we're not in touch with the real world.
Okay.
Of course, we can also dream about being a size 8 when we're not. I won't go there any further than that.
Okay, so then the last one is suppression.
I know I need to deal with this problem that I have with my spouse, my siblings, my church friends, somebody in the workplace, but I cannot do it. I just cannot do it. I've got to put it off. And so we put it off and we put it off and we put it off. And the next thing you know, putting it off starts to work on our mind. And the next thing we know, we're in bitterness because we have suppressed and
procrastinated.
Oh, you just said $100 word.
Okay.
And we don't have time to go into that, but we could do a whole lesson on procrastination.
Yes, we do not have time to talk about procrastination, but we do have a list of these defense mechanisms on our resource page at SharonHearts.org. That's SharonHearts.org. You can download it. Study it, examine your heart with it, pray to the Lord and ask Him to show you. Because I've actually learned a lot about myself through these defense mechanisms and the ones that I've used and been enlightened to them so that I don't let them be a hindrance to my relationship with others and my relationship with the Lord and growing in Him. And that's why mentoring matters. Mentoring Matters is a discipleship program of SharonHearts.org. Join a community of Christians seeking to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, with resource materials available for the journey at SharonHearts.org. That's SharinHearts.org.